Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10 has this verse. And I want you to look at this. This is where we get, this is where the title comes from. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are saved. Now, I want to break this down. We're running toward a name. Do you get that? We're not running in a tower. The name is the tower. So the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And I want you to notice something in this passage that is in your Bible, regardless of your translation, it should be capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D in your Bible. Now, if you don't have a translation that has that in there, you need to find one that does, because this is very important. Now, you have to understand something. When we began to translate the Bible from Hebrew and Greek, and a part of it is in Aramaic, when the Bible began to be translated in other countries, some of the names were Hebrew names, and they did not know how to identify them as such, and so they translated them, not transliterated, but translated them into a common name that we could understand. And one of those is the word Lord. So you're going to see the word Lord appear over and over in your Bible, but this is what you need to know. It's just like the word praise. It's not always the same word. So just because you see the word Lord does not mean that it means the same thing or is even talking about the same person that you just read about in the previous scripture. And I'm going to show you this. So anytime you see the L-O-R-D capitalized, that is the tetragrammaton. Now let me tell you what that means. That's a Greek word. It's a fancy Greek word that just means tetra is four. Gramma is four letters. That's all it means. So when you hear somebody use that, they may be trying to impress you. It just means a word with four letters in it, right? That's all it means. So the tetragrammaton for God's name is the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which you see there on the left. Now notice this. This is very, very important. Notice that on the left, you see the capital L-O-R-D. Anytime you see that, you're looking at the word Yod, you're looking at the letters Yod He Vav He, which is where we get the word Yahweh from. And I'm going to explain to you how we did that. All we did is add two vowels to that name and got the word Yahweh. We were just trying to pronounce it because it's unpronounceable in any language without the vowels. So when they added the vowels, it ended up being the word Yahweh. So when you see the capitals, it's always Yahweh. Notice on the right side, you also see the same word, but it's not written the same way. That is L-O-R-D. Now when you see that word written that way, it's not spelled the same. If you read Hebrew, or even if you don't, you can tell the difference. This one is Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yod. So it's not even the same letters. It's a completely different word, and that word is Adonai. Now, Adonai is the word we refer to God anytime we're talking about his creation. So a lot of people commonly say Adonai the Creator, but the Bible tells us very explicitly that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God, and all things, I'm reading now, I'm quoting John chapter 1, all things were created by him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Not referring to Yahweh, but referring to Adonai. Now, when you see this, the reason I want you to see this is because you're going to see the work of Jesus, the one we call Jesus. You see, some people think that Jesus did not exist until he was born of Mary. No, Jesus has always been there. So you have to understand that he has always existed. In the beginning was the Word was with God. His beginning was not Bethlehem. His beginning was the beginning. In the beginning, before there was time, before there was anything, he existed. So when you see the word L-O-R-D, not spelled with all caps, you are looking at the works of Jesus, the creative works of Jesus, even in the Old Testament. So let me show you how this works. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures that's going to help you understand this, because many scriptures use these same two references in the same verse. So here's one that everyone's well acquainted with, but notice the spelling is different. You have Adonai at the top, you had Yahweh at the bottom. Now listen to this verse, thinking about this. I'm going to substitute one word and see if it changes the meaning for you. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw Jesus sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Okay, let's stop there. What is he describing? A robe in the temple? What is he describing? A throne and a robe. He's describing a king. He's not describing the God of the universe, the one that we call Father God Yahweh. He's describing a king on a throne. And I'll show you in just a moment where that is located, because there is a throne that Yahweh sits upon, but there's also a throne that Adonai sits upon at the right hand of the Father. Now, some people think, well, that is just after the resurrection. No, I'm going to show it to you in the Old Testament. I'm going to show you that long before Jesus was born, and long before Jesus died on the cross, and long before Jesus was resurrected, Jesus was already sitting at the right hand of the Father as Adonai. He was already there. So a lot of the times when you're reading your Bible, I want you to understand the difference. Okay, so let's look at this whole verse. I want you to understand the differences. When you're reading about the creative act of Jesus, or you're reading about the powerful act of Yahweh, look at this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, Adonai, sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried out to another, look at this, holy, holy, holy is who? Yahweh. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. So you have a reference to Yahweh and Adonai in the same verse.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
Now I want you to show you this in a different verse. This is in Psalm 110 and 1. How many of you know that this is the most quoted Old Testament verse in the whole Bible? This is quoted more than any other verse in the Old Testament in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul, by Jesus, by all four gospel writers. This verse is quoted. And that is the reason that we say with such confidence that we know that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. But how do we know that? The defense of the Apostle Paul, when he was telling them about Jesus, was that David is the one who saw it and proclaimed it. That this came from David long before it came from Paul. Long before any New Testament writer claimed the resurrection of Jesus, David already proclaimed this in Psalm 110 and 1. The Lord said to my Lord. How many can tell that is not the same person? He is not talking to himself. Yahweh said to Adonai, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So this is very powerful. If you can grasp this, there's some great, great understanding in your Bible when you're reading this. So now when you're reading your Bible, every time you read this, I want you to understand that you're talking about a different thing. Now the reason I want you to understand the difference is because L-O-R-D, all caps, is the covenant name of God. Now when God gives you a covenant name, that is a name that he swears by himself. When there's no other, you can't swear by anything higher. That means that it's irrevocable, it's uncontestable, It's unquestionable. That means that you can, there is no way that you can reverse it. It's irreversible because God has given you a promise and signed his name to it in covenant as his covenant name. God is not a man that he can lie. Here's what you need to understand about God. When God says it, even if it doesn't exist, it does now. That's God. I mean, if God says it, it's already happened. You don't have to, whether you see it happen or not, if God says it, then it has to materialize. It is now going forth as a command. It is not God just not talking to himself. When God says it, it exists from the moment he says it. It already exists. So when you see the covenant names of God, they take on a whole different set of meanings. And again, I got to walk you through some of this. I want to walk you through, how do we know this is the covenant name of God? How do we know the Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, where we get the word Yahweh, where we get the word Jehovah? And okay, so all Jehovah is Yahweh written in Latin. That's where the word comes from, all right? So don't get confused by that. You're not, anytime when the Bible was, when the Latin Vulgate Bible was written, they wrote the word Yahweh, but in Latin, it comes out Jehovah. Just like, okay, we have several Spanish people here tonight. Tell me how you say Jesus in Spanish. Jesus, right? Anybody speak Greek? You know how to say Jesus in Greek? Jesus. Jesus, almost the same as Spanish. Jesus. How do you say Jesus in Hebrew? And some people get really hung up on that. It's like, if you don't say Yeshua, you really didn't say anything. It's like, wait a minute, you said the same thing in a different language. So if you get hung up on this and you make a big issue out of a name, that is why if you're saying Jehovah, or if you're saying Yahweh, or if you're saying Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, you're saying the same thing. So it's just said differently in another language. There is nothing wrong with saying Jesus. There's nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, my wife was using Instacart the other day, and you know, a lot of Spanish people like to name their children Jesus. And my wife was so thrilled because she said, Brian, this has never happened before. I just got a message from Instacart that my groceries are being picked up by Jesus. She said, that's never happened before. I said, well, be sure and tip him good if that's Jesus. It's Jesus, obviously. So understand this. Now, there's nothing wrong with calling Jesus Yeshua. That is his Hebrew name. And I think some people think if there is one language that we will all speak in heaven, it will probably be Hebrew. I think the first language that was ever written, in my estimation, was Hebrew. I don't have time to argue that, debate that right now. But the Bible says, in the beginning, God created Aleph Tav, heaven and earth. In the English Bible, it just says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. But in the Hebrew Bible, the original manuscript, it doesn't say that at all. It says, in the beginning, God created an alphabet before he created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created Aleph Tav, then heaven and earth. Why did God create an alphabet first? Well, he was about to say something. He didn't need to say anything before then. He's about to say, you got to have words to say something. So I believe he just created the Hebrew alphabet, and then he said, let there be light. And when he did, everything was formed from that. Right? God was about to say something. Okay. So when you see God introducing himself, the first time he reveals his name in this kind of a way is to Moses. And I'm going to read that to you in Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they will say, well, what is his name? And what shall I say to them? And notice how God replies to that. He says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Now, God is not saying, that's my name. He reveals his name in the next verse. He's not saying, my name is I am. Now, I love the song about I am being his name. It's a great song. But this verse is not saying that God is saying, you know what God is saying? So there's two ways to translate this. If you're reading this in Hebrew, it's Iyei Asher Iyei. And what this is actually saying in Hebrew is, I am who I am, and I will be who I will be. Now, what exactly, if you were interpreting that in English, you would say, he's the beginning and the end. That's what you would say. If you were translating that phrase in English, which they've translated, I am who I am, and not the rest of it, and I will be who I will be, which is the rest of the translation, I am who I am this, and when you get there, I'll be that. I am here, and I'm already waiting at the end. I am where you started, and I'm already going to be there. I am who I am, and I will be who I will be. When you get there, I will still be there. Wherever you go, I will never leave you nor forsake you, because that is actually saying that I am the beginning, and I am the end. And of course, that's revealed later on in the Bible whenever Jesus gives us those same words to describe himself and the Father.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.